Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Jonah? This may seem an odd place to share some thoughts concerning the election, but I think you'll see where I'm going whenever we take a look at this passage. First of all, let me say that I'm glad that the election is over with now. I tell you what, I am suffering from election exhaustion. And I'll have to say this, my gut feeling was correct. I refused to tell people when they asked me, who do you think is going to win? And I just said, I don't know. But my gut feeling, and I told many folks, was I thought that Obama would be reelected again. The 57th U.S. presidential election was kind of close, but not really close in many ways. 303 to 206 as far as the electoral count went. We were pummeled for a year and a half with propaganda from both sides. All right, let's just be honest. I'm just going to put some things out there tonight. I think we're all a little weary of the pundits, liberal and conservative pundits, because Dick Morris, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Barone, Ann Coulter all got it wrong. They all got it wrong. I think all of us were listening to them and we were saying, you know what, this sounds good. We were told Mitt Romney is going to win by 6 points. It went the opposite way. Now, I think that there's something that we need to think about that you will not, nor have you seen on political yard signs. You haven't seen this or heard this in any of the debates that we watched. You haven't read this in any of the party platform emails that filled your inbox over the past 3 months or so, and it's this. If we do not join Jehovah God in supporting His plan for the universe, then we are spending life's capital in a wasteful bid that opposes the God of the universe. Now think about what I've just said. If we do not join Jehovah God in supporting His plan for the universe. Now, everybody has been saying over and over again, I've got a plan. The president said, I've got a plan. Well, what is it? Well, we don't know. Then you had Governor Romney. I've got a plan. I've got a 5-point plan. All right? Very little specifics, just generic type stuff that we often see. President put out a 20-page pamphlet of basically the warmed over things that he's talked about over the past 4 years and nothing has been done about. But I want to tell you something. God has a plan. God has a plan, and we know the details. Now, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to get on board with God's plan. And I've said this so many times over the years, and I'm not any kind of a prophet. I don't claim to be. But I just don't find the United States of America in prophecy. And I'm going to tell you something. That's frightening. Now think about what we're going to see over the next 4 years. I would like to be able to tell you tonight that you're going to see bipartisanship. And we're going to see wonderful things happen. They're going to come together and get things done. I want to tell you something. In the next 4 years, we have 2 Supreme Court justices that will be stepping down. And can I tell you who's going to take their place? For the first time in almost 25 years, the court is going to change to a leftist side. We're already seeing that with what we've got now. So we get 2 more justices in there. We're going to see the whole shift, and we're going to move away from the United States Constitution in ways that you never dreamed of. Now, we thought it was bad with the Obamacare, you know, mandate being said, oh, that's constitutional and everything. But you haven't seen anything yet. It's coming. You're going to see Obamacare fully implemented during the 4 years of President Obama and this thing. And you're going to see tax increases. But I want you to know something. In spite of all the things that we're going to see and we're going to witness and we're going to watch our United States, God is still on His throne. And what God has told us to do has not changed. You and I are to pursue righteousness. You and I are to obey the Word of God. You and I are to honor God and honor the King. That's what the Bible tells us. And so you and I have a responsibility. Our role has not been abdicated. Though we're disappointed and we're discouraged, we still have a God that's in charge. His plan, everything, now stay with me now, everything is going according to God's plan. I thought about that phrase last night as I was sitting on top of my bed watching all the things come in, and I saw Fox News say, the first news organization to do so, that President Obama was going to be reelected, and then I watched Karl Rove go nuts on there saying, oh no, we've got Ohio, all those Ohio votes, which didn't come in. Okay, he got it wrong. I didn't mention his name in the list there, but he got it wrong too. And all of us were just trundling along, believing and hanging on every word. They got it wrong. The polls were right. And we're downcast today. I have to admit, I've walked around a little bit today, but I've had to ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You're still on the throne. Everything is going according to God's plan. That means you and I have to submit to God's plan. And God's plan may very well be the demise of the United States of America. That's a hard thing to take because we're all patriots. We love our country. We want our country to stay on track. We want our country to be the most wonderful place in all the world, and compared to most nations of the world, it is. But it may very well be that God is superintending the demise of a nation that's turned its back upon Him. An overwhelming majority voted for what we have, basically putting everything back into place for 4 more years. Now, though that be discouraging, we have to lift ourselves up. Chris Whitney spent some time over the past week up in the bucket truck. We rented one so that we could paint the gymnasium, and he was out there yesterday, and he was up in the lift working on the lights out on the ball field. We had some repair work that had to be done. Now, Chris up in the bucket, I was driving around campus, and I'd see him up there working. He got a perspective of the campus that I didn't have down inside my truck. He was up high and lifted up. When you go down to Field 10, you can look out and see Milton. You get an overview because we're up on the hill here. You can see things. There's a hill out on Hickory Hammock Road. It's a favorite spot for me. I love going out there. Whenever I go down, I make an excuse to go up the hill. Everybody know where I'm talking about? Right off Ward Basin Road. You go up to the top, there's a radio tower up there. And I've had picnics. I've taken my kids for a picnic up there in the fall. It's a beautiful time of the year. The leaves start coming off. And you can look down and you can see Blackwater Basin. And you can see the river flowing out into the basin out there. It's a beautiful picture. It really is. And that hillside is grassy. It's kind of grown up over the years. I used to go out there whenever Peggy Ann's t-shirt screen printing was out there. I picked up shirts for almost 10 years. For baseball and soccer and so forth, and I would make my way up the hill. I'd take a look and kind of look out over there, sit up there in my truck for just a few minutes because it's a beautiful spot. And it used to be clear cut, and they had a few trees down at the bottom. Now it's starting to grow up a little bit. But it's a beautiful spot. You get a perspective. It's one of the highest points in our county. You get a perspective and see some of the beauty that's out there. I want to tell you something. What we need to do is elevate our vision tonight. We need to lift ourselves up and put ourselves up in heaven with God. And I want you to see that everything is going according to God's plan. Even though it hurts deeply. Even though you would say in your heart, oh Lord, please be merciful. You know, God can be merciful in ways that we don't expect. Sometimes it's more merciful for someone to pass on to glory than it is to stay behind. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts deeply. And yet it's God's plan. Everything going according to God's plan. All of us are going to face that. As a pastor, I've preached many funerals. I've done more funerals than I have weddings. My first funeral was, I believe it was Roy Adams. And I remember we all loved Roy Adams. And it took all I could do to stay up there behind the pulpit because I was fearful. I'd never done a funeral before. You know, we went to Preacher Boys and His Problems at Bob Jones. That was a class I took for the 3 years that I was there. And they talked about funerals. 10 minutes. That's how much we spent on funerals. And we had to do a quick funeral sermon and turn that in. And that was the extent of my studying of funerals. But you know, it's a weighty thing to stand before people, especially people that you love, people that you've grown up with. You've watched them, you've visited with them, and then to preach their funeral. But I want to tell you something. Everything was going according to plan, God's plan. And so I want to encourage your hearts tonight. I want you to lift your hearts up and encourage yourself tonight that everything is going according to plan. I want to give you a quotation from Jonathan Edwards. You know, Jonathan Edwards died in 1758, well before the colonies became the United States of America. But he saw God's hand at work, the Great Awakening, coming off a period of American or the colonial history in which there was a lot of wickedness, a lot of iniquity in this land. And he had been praying for God to do a work in hearts and lives, a great awakening to come, and he had preached. You know, when he preached his messages, he oftentimes had to bring his notes up like this to read. If we were to have Jonathan Edwards come and preach to us tonight, you would not have been impressed. Because he would read his notes like this because his eyes were so poor. But you know what? People were sitting in the pews with their knuckles growing white from the tension and the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their heart. And he saw God's hand working. God was moving. Always remember this. The Great Awakening preceded the founding of the United States of America. That wasn't an accident. That was God working and moving and preparing for a nation to be born, an unusual nation, a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Do you realize the pilgrims had come to the United States of America because they were not equal? They were the scum of the earth. King James I, yes, the very same King James that authorized the Bible, persecuted personally the pilgrims. He told the Puritans after they had left to go, they told the Puritans, you have to worship in the Anglican church and we are not changing a thing for you, Puritans that wanted to change within. And so by the time 1690 rolls around, you've got 60,000 people that have left England to come to the United States to live in the colonies so they could have what? Religious freedom. The seeds were planted by separatists that came to this country and they signed the Mayflower Compact, which was the first, basically the seed of the Constitution. Self-rule, self-government. They were going to form their government and they were going to be ruled by the Word of God. What a beautiful picture that's there. Those were all the seeds that led up to that time. And this is what Jonathan Edwards wrote in an article that he, or a sermon actually, entitled The Christian Pilgrim. The Christian Pilgrim. The enjoyment of God is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. Stop right there. Meditate on that. The enjoyment of God, not the enjoyment of America, not the enjoyment of home, not the enjoyment of family, but the enjoyment of God. Do you enjoy God tonight? Now think about that for just a moment. Is there something else between you and the enjoyment of God? He says here, the enjoyment of God is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. To go to heaven fully to enjoy God is infinitely better than the most pleasant accommodations here. You talk about forward looking. Fathers and mothers, husbands, wives, or children, or the company of earthly friends are but shadows. But God is the substance. These are but scattered beams, but God is the sun, S-U-N. These are but streams, but God is the ocean. Therefore, it becomes us to spend this life only as a journey toward heaven, as it becomes us to make the seeking of our highest end and proper good the whole work of our lives, to which we should subordinate all other concerns of life. Why should we labor for or set our hearts on anything else but that which is our proper end and true happiness? What is our proper end and true happiness? It's the worship and relationship that we have with God. Do you enjoy Him? Did what happened last night change or disrupt your enjoyment of God? It shouldn't have. Because that's our main aim. That's our main purpose, is to enjoy God forever. Because He is our Lord, He is our King, He is our grace, He is our love, He is our life. We have nothing apart from Him. Who loved us and sent His Son? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so we're called, and I think this is what's missing today in the church. It's missing so many times in people who would lay claim to the fact that they're fundamental Bible-believing Christians. We do not enjoy God because we're so rooted in this world. So rooted. Now, I want us to think about Jonah tonight. Everything is going according to God's plan. Do you remember the Bible account of Jonah and how he ended up in the belly of the giant fish? By the way, Jonah is not a fictional character. Oh, you read the internet, Jonah is a fictional character of the Bible. Well, I want to tell you something. In 2 Kings 14 and verse 25, he's mentioned. Jonah, the son of Amittai, the same mention here in Jonah, verse 1 of chapter 1. He's mentioned there. He is a real person. And what is so interesting about the account of Jonah is that God, we read in the verse 17 of chapter 1, had prepared and appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible tonight. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared and appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Period. Notice that. End of sentence. God prepared a fish out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. A fish that was swimming around, minding his own business. And God appointed him to be there in the exact spot where they were going to chuck Jonah overboard. And that fish was right there to take Jonah into Sunday school, where Jonah was going to learn some great lessons. Now stop for just a moment and think about that. That's God? Yes. Everything was going according to plan. Now, when you think about Jonah fleeing from God, it's almost a chuckle. Can any man or woman flee from God? No. But I want to tell you something. There are a lot of people in churches tonight on a Wednesday night, even among the faithful that come out, that are running or trying to run from God. They're running from God in so many different ways, and we don't have time to enumerate them. Some are running from complete trust in God, that God's still in charge of the universe, that God's still unfolding His plan. Other people are running from other things, but Jonah was there. He was running from God. I would think we would say, he's not in the will of God. He's running to Tarshish, and he's supposed to be going to Nineveh. He's not in the plan of God, but God's plan was being unfolded. The winds and the waves begin to kick up. And they go down there, and there's Jonah sleeping. By the way, you can be out of the will of God and sleep nights. Did you know that? I've heard some preachers get upset here. You can't sleep nights being out of the will of God. Jonah was. He's in the middle of the ocean, waves crashing around. I want to tell you something. If you can sleep and not be throwing up in a storm like that, you're doing pretty good. And that's before the days of all of these medications, Dramamine. He didn't have that to take. He was sleeping soundly down in that ship. And they went down there and said, listen, get up, start praying to your God. Things aren't going well. We're in the middle of a storm. We're going to sink. All the men up there, they were praying to their gods, and they said, Jonah, get up. And Jonah had enough spiritual discernment that he knew he was the problem. Why? Because God's in charge of the winds and the waves and the sea. That's why. And so he went up there and he told him, he said, listen, I'm the problem. I'm running from God. The best thing for you to do is grab me up by the nape of the neck and throw me into the water. And everything will be all right then. Well, they said, well, we're not going to do that. I think all of us would have been that way, right? Could you pitch somebody overboard? They said, we're going to row a little bit longer. And they rowed and rowed, and the ocean waves got higher and higher, and they were taking on water. And so they said, all right, Jonah, you're going in. And they pitched him in, and the waves settled down, and the wind stopped blowing. And right there, as he went into the water, God had prepared a fish. God's a God of detail, folks. He's a God of detail. And so that fish swallowed him, and then we have chapter 2. Oh, wow, listen. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Everything's going according to God's plan. Then Jonah prayed. Verse 2, and he said, I cried out of my distress to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of Sheol cried I. That's the grave, by the way. My personal opinion, I'll say that, it's my personal opinion that Jonah died and that he was resurrected. He was raised from the dead during this particular, because he typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. From the belly of Sheol cried I, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of your presence and your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the extinction of life. The abyss surrounded me. The sea weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms and the very roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit and corruption, O Lord my God. Those are words of a dead man walking. Okay? Now, verse 7, when my soul fainted upon me, I earnestly and seriously remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to faults, now he's going to teaching. This is the lesson he learned. Now he's teaching us. Those who pay regard to false, useless, and worthless idols forsake their own source of mercy and loving kindness. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation and deliverance belong to the Lord. And the Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Raised from death unto life, the fish that was out in the ocean brings him all the way, a three-day journey. Brought him up to the shore, spit him out. And God had his servant. Everything was going according to plan. And that's hard to take in, is it not? A man out of God's will and everything working out according to God's plan. I want to tell you something. That's how great God is. And when it seems like that everything is going wrong in the United States of America, we've turned our backs upon the Lord. We've got an administration that is going in a direction as far away from the truth of God's Word, and America's moving that way. We're now in the minority in the United States of America. Evangelical community, I couldn't believe the statistic when I heard this last night. Evangelical community, 47% for Obama, 41% for Romney. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Where are we today? The church is following the culture. Now, very quickly, As we see from Jonah's story, everything, and I mean everything, went according to plan. God's work and God's will was accomplished. Now, it did not look like everything was going according to plan at several junctures. And I don't have time to take you back through each one of the story, but I think you're following along. You see how Jonah was going one way, and God met him there, and he brought all the circumstances in his life to play to bring him back to where he was supposed to go. Isn't it interesting? Put him on shore, and where did he go? He went to Nineveh. He went to Nineveh, where God said to go to start with. Now, many of us, myself included, have found ourselves in undesirable situations. I think we find ourselves in that tonight. Undesirable. We would much rather be in a different situation. I think about the Pilgrims. I'm just about done reading The Mayflower Pilgrims by David Beale. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. It's an eye-opening thing. He gives the history of the peoples leading up to the time of the Pilgrims. And those men, three or four pastors that had influence, three that were executed by the Church of England, hung. All right? Why? Because they dared to go against the church. They were hung. And three of them influenced William Brewster and William Bradford. William Bradford was 19 years of age when he watched one of them be hung. And it put in that young man's heart, I want to serve God. I want to honor the Lord. I want to do what's right. Oh, there's so many stories of persecution. I think probably if you would have interviewed them, they said, we wish that things would be different here in England. We wish that King James I would not persecute us so, that he would not send his soldiers to harass us and to cast us into the king's jail where they spent many a night. One jail, I think it's in Boston, England, or you can go to today. The courthouse where they were tried is up on the second floor. There's a spiral staircase that goes down from where the person who was tried stood. He would come up from the jail, he would stand there, be tried, and then he would go right back down in the hole. And there were two little tiny cells, 5 by 5. That's where they stayed after their trial took place. I would imagine they would have said, we wish things would be different, but they're not. And so we must trust God and do what's right. That's how we should encourage our hearts tonight. Jonah chose to go his own way. God worked his will and putting up back on the pathway of doing what God said to do. The greatest thing you can do with your life, young person, adult, elderly person here, whatever the case might be, the best thing you can do is do God's will. Find out which way God's going and go with Him. It may take you to places you would not like to go. Those three pastors went to the gallows. They were hung for their faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Everything went according to God's plan because He was preparing two men, William Brewster and William Bradford, to be the leaders of the separatists. It took a long time to develop. But God brought them to a place of difficulty through trial and difficulty to bring them, just a small group, to bring them from England all the way over here. And it's to the Pilgrims we thank for bringing freedom of religion to these shores. And we enjoy it tonight, though it's more limited than what they had during their day. Separatist, doing what's right, standing up for what's right, honoring the Lord. I want to tell you something, folks. That's the safest place to be in the will of God. So I want to encourage you. I want you to know that in the great scheme of God's plan, everything is going according to His plan. And to God be the glory, great things He hath done. This is just a bump in the road in eternity. When we look back, when we're standing in His presence with tears streaming down our eyes and He reaches over there and wipes away our tears and nevermore will we shed a tear in His presence, We won't look back at November the 6th and say, oh, what a terrible day that was. We're going to look back to the cross. Amen? We're going to look back to the cross. And then we're going to look at our Savior. And we're going to see His pierced hands, and we're going to see His pierced feet. And we're going to see the thorns that had pierced His brow, the scars that are there. And we're going to say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And all this will just fade into memory. Everything, and we'll say, with all the countless saints of all eternity, everything went according to God's plan. Let's take the long view. Amen? Let's take the long view. Let's encourage our hearts, knowing that God is in charge and everything is going according to plan. Just as Jonah, God had a plan. I want Nineveh. I want you to preach the word to Nineveh. I want to redeem them. Jonah said, just give them what they deserve. I'm not going. But God is long-suffering and merciful. He may yet be to America. I don't know. I don't know what God's plan is. It may be that we just continue down. It may be that God will be merciful and give us a respite for a few years. I don't know. God's in charge of that, and I trust Him. And we all should, by God's grace.